Hare Krishna, welcome to Bhakti Sangha conference call. We're extremely fortunate to have His Grace Radha Pramod Prabhuji here with us today. And Prabhuji would be enlightening us by discussing Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 2, and Verse 10. But before we dive into this nectarine class, I will request Balbhadra Kripa Prabhuji to share a brief introduction about our today's speaker, His Grace Radha Pramod Prabhuji. Krishna, Balabhadra Prabhuji, Dharma, Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada, and over to you.
Hare Krishna Mataji, to you and all the assembled devotees. All glories to Srila Prabhupada, Sri Guru and Gauranga. Here's a brief introduction for our dear speaker today, His Grace Radha Pramod Prabhuji. Prabhuji came into Krishna consciousness in 2001 and got initiated in 2006 by His Holiness Radhanath Swami Maharaj. Prabhuji completed Bhakti Vedanta Vidyapeeth from BVRC courses from BVRC. Prabhuji renders many services. Here are a few services mentioned. Prabhuji manages a preaching center in Hyderabad. Prabhuji is also in training and educating corporate youth. Prabhuji gives daily sessions on Aastha TV, Haribol, and other local channels. And Prabhuji is also conducting online Bhagavatam classes for many devotees groups around India and also groups like Bhakti Sangha. Haribol. Over to you, Mataji. Dandavat Pranam. Hare Krishna Prabhu. Dandavat Pranam.
Thank you, Prabhuji, for that introduction. Hare Krishna Radha Pramod Prabhuji, Dharma Pranam, all glories to Srila Prabhupada. Thank you very much for giving us your valuable time and association this morning and enlightening us on the topic of Srimad Bhagavatam. Without further ado, I'd like to request you to please take over from here. Hare Krishna.
Thanks. ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्या नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासं ततो जयमुदीरये नष्टप्रायेष भद्रेषु नित्यं भागवत सेवया भगवतीरुत्तमश्लोके भक्तिर्भवती नैष्ठिकी। रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 2 टेक्स्ट 10। तावत् यात भुवं यूयं ब्रह्म क्षत्रासमेदिताम् सूदयध्वं तपो यज्ञा स्वाध्याया व्रतधानिनः। वर्ड टू वर्ड मीनिंग। ततः एज लॉन्ग एज आई एम एंगेज इन द मैटर ऑफ किलिंग विष्णु याता गो भूमम टू द प्लैनेट अर्थ यूयम ऑल ऑफ यू ब्रह्म क्षत्र ऑफ द ब्राह्मणस एंड क्षत्रियस समेदिताम मेड प्रॉस्परस बाय द एक्टिविटीज ब्राह्मणिकल कल्चर एंड वेदिक गवर्नमेंट। सुदयध्वम जस्ट डिस्ट्रॉय तपह द परफॉर्मेंस ऑफ ऑस्ट्रिटीज यज्ञ सैक्रिफाइसेस स्वाध्याय स्टडी ऑफ द वेदिक नॉलेज व्रत द रिलीजियस वोज दानिनः and those giving charity, translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. While I am engaged in the business of killing Lord Vishnu, go down to the planet Earth, which is flourishing due to Brahminical culture and a Kshatriya government. These people engage in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, regulative vows and charity. Destroy all the people thus engaged. Purport. Hiranyakashipu's main purpose was to disturb the demigods. He planned first to kill Lord Vishnu so that with Lord Vishnu's death, the demigods would automatically weaken and die. Another of his plans was to disturb the residents of the planet Earth. The peace and prosperity of the residents of Earth and all other planets were maintained by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The Lord says in the Bhagavad Gita, Chaturvarnam Maya Sishtam Gunakarma Vibhagashah. According to the three modes of material nature and the work ascribed to them, the four divisions of human society were created by me. One, on all the planet, there are different types of residence, but the Lord recommends referring especially to the planet Earth, which is inhabited by human beings. That society be divided into four varnas, Brahmana, Kshatriyas, Vaishyas and Shudra. Before the advent of Lord Krishna on earth, it is understood that the earth was managed by the Brahmanas and Kshatriyas. The duty of Brahmanas is to cultivate Samaha, peacefulness, Dhamaha, self-control, Tiksha, tolerance, Satyam, truthfulness, Saucham, cleanness and Arjavam, simplicity. And then, to advise the Kshatriya kings how to rule the country or planet. Following the instructions of the Brahmanas, the Kshatriya should engage the populace in austerity, sacrifice, Vedic study, adherence to the rules and regulations established by the Vedic principles. They should also arrange for charity to be given to the Brahmanas, Sannyasis and temples. This is the godly arrangement of Brahmanical culture. People are inclined to offer yajna, because unless sacrifice offered, there will be insufficient rain. Yajna bhavanti parjanya, which will hamper agriculture activities. Prajanya dhanna sambhava. By introducing Brahmanical culture, therefore a Kshatriya government should engage people in performing yajna, studying the Vedas and giving charity. Thus, the people will receive their necessaries for life very easily and there will be no disturbances in society. In this regard, Lord Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, Ishtan bhogan hi o devan dasyante yajna bhavitaha tair dattan apratipyebhyo yo bhunkte stene elsaha. In charge of various necessities of life, the demigods being satisfied with the performance of yajna, sacrifice, supply all necessities to man, but he who enjoys these gifts without offering them to demigods in return is certainly a thief. The demigods are authorized supplying agents who act on behalf of the Supreme Personality of Godhead Vishnu. Therefore, they must be satisfied by the performance of prescribed yajnas. In the Vedas, there are different kinds of yajnas prescribed for different kinds of demigods, but all are ultimately offered to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. For one who cannot understand what the personality of Godhead he is, sacrifice to demigods is recommended. According to the different material qualities of the persons concerned, different types of yajnas are recommended in the Vedas. Worship of different demigods is also on the same basis, namely according to different qualities. For example, the meat eaters are recommended to worship the goddesses Kali, ghastly form of material nature, and before the goddesses, sacrifice of animal is recommended. But for those in the mode of goodness, the transcendental worship of Lord Vishnu is recommended. Ultimately, all yajnas are meant for gradual promotion to the transcendental position. For ordinary men, at least 5 yajnas, known as Panchamaha yajna, are necessary. One should know, however, that all the necessities of life that human society requires are supplied by the demigod agents of the Lord. No one can manufacture anything. Consider, for example, all the eatables of the human society. These eatables, including grains, fruits, vegetables, milk and sugar for persons in the mode of goodness and are eatable for the non-vegetarians such as meat, none of which can be manufactured by man. Then again, take for example heat, light, water and air, which are also necessary of life. None of them can be manufactured by human society. Without the Supreme Lord, there can be no profuse sunlight, moonlight, rainfall or breeze without which no one can live. Obviously, our life is dependent on supplies from the Lord. Even for our manufacturing enterprises, we require so many raw materials like metal, sulfur, mercury, manganese and so many essentials, all of which are supplied by the agents of the Lord with the purpose that we should make proper use of them to keep ourselves fit and healthy for the purpose of self-realization, leading to the ultimate goal of life, namely liberation from the material struggle for existence. This aim of life is attempted by the performance of yajna, If we forget the purpose of human life and simply take supplies from the agents of Lord for sense gratification and become more and more entangled in mortal existence, which is not the purpose of creation, certainly we become thieves and therefore we are punished by the laws of material nature. A society of thieves can never be happy, for they have no aim in life. The gross materialistic thieves have no ultimate goal of life. They are simply directed to sense gratification, nor do they have knowledge of how to perform yajna. Lord Chaitanya, however, inaugurated the easiest performance of yajna, namely the Sankirtan yajna, which can be performed by anyone in the world who accepts the principles of Krishna consciousness. Hiranyakashipu planned to kill the inhabitants of it so that yajna would stop and the demigod being disturbed would die automatically when Lord Vishnu, the Yajneshwara, was killed. These are the demonic plans of Hiranyakashipu, who was expert in such activities. Om Jnana Timiran Dasya Jnana Janashalakaya Chakshurunmilitam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Svapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapada Kamalam Shri Guru Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Damsajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhanvitamscha Namo Vishnupadaya Krishna Prashtaya Bhutale Srimate Bhaktivedanta Swami Iti Namine Namaste Saraswate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desha Dharine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gauravinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Rama, Rama Hare 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 Krishna. I thank all of you for joining the session and giving me opportunity to speak on this important subject of Bhagavatam. And this topic especially is my favorite topic to discuss on Yajna. But before that, I wanted to speak on one more important topic because we are in Damodar month. I'll just start with one story of Krishna's pastime and I'll come back to the point of yajna because this is Damodar month and I'm in Vrindavan. And day before yesterday I heard a very wonderful lecture of His Holiness Bhakti Vignan Maharaj, and I wanted to share the pastime which I heard. It's a very wonderful pastime. You might have heard it, but the way Maharaj presented, I liked it and I thought I will share. And suddenly I got an opportunity to share this pastime. And it's a very nice, interesting thing. Philosophical part I will explain in the end. But the story starts, this is how the wonderful story. Because there are different ways of worshipping, and of course, without philosophy, I'll not be able to present it, but I will present some philosophy. In the end, we'll start with the story. Otherwise, if I start philosophy, I may not get time for this. Now, this is a story that is happened 5,000 years back, but in Braja, these stories are discussed as if they happened yesterday only, and they have very good reason for it. Now, the story is like there are rumors spread throughout the village of Nanda Maharaj. What is that? The Nanda Maharaj's youngest son was stealing fresh butter from the gopis' houses every night. There was something to worry about, because the tendency to steal is not encouraged in any society. Now, what can we say about a community of pious, simple-hearted, cowherd people, where everyone knows each other and everyone is visible? And a thief can still somehow get lost in the jungle of big city. But even then also, all the neighbors in the city also will know well what trade he earns his bread. But only a madman can steal in a village. and the neighbors will start gossiping about his activity a week before it is committed only, because it's a village. And if little Gopal has asked any cowherd boy or girl or woman for some butter, everyone would have been too happy to give him such butter as he desired. But that was not the worry of Vrindavan. The pious inhabitant of Raja, most of all, they were thinking, who will grow out of this Gopal? What will happen to Gopal when he become big? Isn't this a disease? The impeccable reputation of our beloved leader, Nanda Maharaj, of their friendly tribe, the venerable Nanda, will be suffered. Now, but this little son is behaving inappropriately. So everyone had been accustomed to his pranks and mischief. Although they condemned Mother Yashoda for so much pampering her petty, and she for too much of pampering Krishna. But theft is more than innocent mischief. No one had caught that little thief red-handed. But all traces are leading to the house of Nanda Maharaj. They are seeing all the traces are coming from there only. In the end, the compassionate neighbors, they all gathered with courage and decided to complain to Mother Yashoda. So one afternoon, all the ladies and most respectable of all the gopis come to the rich house of Nanda Maharaj. And that time, little Gopal was walking busily in the courtyard of his house. His entire dark body, soft as freshly churned butter, was smeared with dust. And a thievish smile wandered across his face. Seeing a whole delegation of elderly neighbors coming, who were entering their yard, with a determined look, he became slightly worried. And shooting at them with his black, sly eyes, he rushed headlong towards his mother and hid behind her sari. And then Gopal was thinking, last night when Yashoda put him to the bed and after singing a lullaby went to bed herself, and he pretended to be asleep, and secretly he got up from underneath the blanket and silently slipped out of the door. I was saying, how could you sleep here when the full moon is shining outside and the peacocks are crowing in the tree? His older brother was already waiting for him outside the door after exchanging the conspirational glances. They frivolously went into the street. And he was thinking, I wonder what kind of god and goddesses carefully pours cow milk on all the streets and houses at night. And why do they sometimes forget to do that? Perhaps some indigenous demons sometime manage to steal their pre-prepared milk or replete it with ink or something. And now Krishna saw the full yellowish moon in the sky looked like a big piece of butter. And he was thinking, they say that this huge piece emerged from the ocean of milk when the goddess churned it. He was thinking, I wish I could try what it tastes like. It's a big piece of butter. And he was thinking, it's not at all difficult to reach her. This is like, I just have to climb a large tree in the branches of which she seems to be entangled. But that can wait. Now we need to hurry on our business, Krishna thought. And their feet themselves led the two little robbers to the neighbor's pantry, and with fresh butter was stored in high hanging pots. Smelling the scent of Gopal, the cows in the bran moved joyfully. It was necessary to hurry because the hosts could also wake up when she hears the friendly moo. And all the evening, she thought about Gopal and waited for his silent steps. But at night, when he came, she was already fatigued. So she could not wake up. She was sound asleep. Now, with upraised lips and a stick in her hands, now she came. This is Krishna is just remembering what happened in the night. Looking at Gopal, Gopal was recollecting how his hands bathed in the soft, cold butter and from someone else's pot, that is. And his heart sank anxiously at every rustle. The sweet butter melted in his mouth and fell in a warm stream into the stomach where it was supposed to be. But he was thinking, hey, come on, now it is not the time to indulge in the pleasant memories what happened yesterday. We urgently need to come up with something to avert the inevitable punishment because this all these gopis have come to complain. And the neighbor sees Gopal, hesitated for a moment, his eyes huge as lotus petal, about to fill with tears, looked at them pleadingly and their heart trembled. They wanted to, all the gopis wanted to caress him, press him to his chest, sit with him on their lap and play with his curls. Even a dense layer of dust could not hide his beauty. On the contrary, grimy and dirty, he seemed even more beautiful. And they were thinking, who could be happier than a mother who had to comb that hair every morning? And it is worth causing, they never think, is it worth causing trouble for this wonderful baby? But the neighbors have already agreed with themselves not to give Gopal any concession this time. And each of them was ready to laugh happily at the sight of frightened baby. Looking at each other, they tried their best to maintain a militant attitude. And after all, they only wanted his best. And to shake off their obsession, they hardly looked away from Gopal. Now, among all them, as one of the eldest gopi, she comes and began her accusatory speech. Then she tried to speak as seriously as possible so that Mother Yashoda would be imbibed with concern for her son. But sometimes when she remembered the pranks of little Gopal, her mouth would spread into a smile, betraying her completely. Now then she says, O Queen of Vrindavan, mark my words, you will still have regret your kindness. Only it will be too late. You have made this Krishna and you cannot do in this way. Children need to be punished. Children need to be punished. Otherwise, they will grow up to be hoogloons, gundas or very dacoits. Now your son is like a small sprout with tender your son is now your son is the small sprout with tender leaves, but is already wreaking a havoc around him. What will happen when this delicate sprout goes into a huge tree and leaves and branches? Your son's pranks are just beginning. You will see for yourself how it will all end. And I am scared to even think about it. And this is Yashoda listened attentively, trying to remain serious, although a whole wave of jubilation arose in her heart. And she was thinking herself, yes, friends, you are right. My son is already so brave. And when he grows up, no one can compare with him. And she was thinking, And then the gopis complained. They said, there is no one left in our village who has not suffered from your son. No one knows what he will do next. There is no end to his inventions. We just about to milk our cows and he is already right there. Untied the calves. Mother Yashoda objected. Of course, my boy just want to help you. Then they said, no, no, he does it before we start milking. And when we arrive with the milk bowl, all the milk from the cow's udders has already been sucked by the calves. Mother Yashoda said, maybe, but you just admit that he is doing this only to help you. He just don't understand it. What will come out of it? They said, no, no matter how it is, he does this only to help himself. While we are running around the ad and catching the calves, driving away them from their mothers, he takes advantage of the commotion, enters into houses and take away the pot of butter that we just churned. Then Mother Isha says, but did not give up. She said, but why don't you explain to him that this cannot be done? Then they said, no matter how much we tried in a good way, he does not understand. We have threatened him that we will punish the mischievous man. And Yashoda worriedly asked, then what happened? I said, never mind. He simply began to smile innocently as if nothing has happened. And all our anger disappeared somewhere. Yashoda could hardly contain her laughter because she remembered how she herself has found herself in similar situation many times. And the cowherd woman who were telling this, when she remembered Gopal's smile, she stopped in the midway, forgot about her complaints, that lady, that gopi, and she also broke into smile. And seeing her confusion, another gopi came to her aid. And she started telling, that's it. We never know what else he will do. If we know, he would be prepared. We would have been prepared. Early in the morning, we are in a still, it's very dark. We are sleeping in the sweet sleep of the morning. He sneaks into our closets there in the darkness, but he does not care because he has such light in his body that no lamps are needed. He takes advantage of this. He finds the hidden butter in dark pantries. Then Yashoda retorted in a way. She says, "Are, do you really feel sorry for little butter for him? Well, after all, how much he can eat? Let him eat now, little if he is eating." Then they said, "Are, the fact of matter is that you don't feel sorry for anything for him. Yes, you feed him to the full. He does not come to eat. He just come to steal. And when he gets the butter, he simply feeds them to monkeys and crows. And even if the monkeys eat their full, your Krishna breaks the pot and takes out the remaining butter from it, throws it on the floor, tramples it so that we don't get anything." And then Yashoda says, "Why can't you hang your pots in the higher ceilings so that he cannot reach them?" Then they said, "Oh, and it does not help. If he cannot reach them, the pots, we already tried tying them to the ceilings. He is such a cunning one, places stool on a top of it, climbs on them, reaches into the pot of his hand, no matter how high we hang it." And who was, then they say, "Who is born? How can such son is born?" Then Yashoda is also thinking, "Oh, really? How? There is no one so smart and dexterous people in our family. How such a smart boy is born in our house?" And they say, "Oh, that is not enough." They say, another gopi comes and says, "In the morning, as soon as we coat the walls of our houses with fresh clay and draw patterns on them with chalk so that the houses look elegant, your restless son, he ruins everything. He comes and throws mud at our houses. When will this disgrace end? In front of you, Krishna behaves like a good boy. But when he goes outside, be careful. He steals our butter and curdled milk." appropriate to him everything that he comes across, and then he calls us all sorts of names, and then he himself get angry with us. Then one says that I heard once what how much impudent Krishna is. I heard him saying he looked at the moon and threatened, someday I'll get to you. See what an impudent fellow this is. And one gopi says, I don't feel sleep at night waiting for him to come so I can catch him. But your cunning boy knows when and to whom to come. And when will I finally be asleep peacefully again? Gopi says. And then they says, are the whole village only talks about your son's nocturnal adventures. Behind his back, he has long been nicknamed Makan Chor, the butter thief, the thief, Hari. He is stealing butter now. What will he steal when he grows up? And they says, if you don't punish him now, you will regret it later. But it will be too late. And then, so the cowherd boys of Braja with frightened seriousness belted with each other to Yashoda about Krishna. And all this time Krishna is listening to them, pretending that all this has nothing to do with him. He looked around, batted his eyelashes in surprise, shrugged his shoulders or hid behind the edge of Mother Sari. When Yashoda looked questioningly and sternly at Krishna, then he realized he urgently need to save himself and began to cry, sobbing pitifully. He spoke, don't you trust me, mom? Why do you always believe in them and not me? Do you love them more than me? And Mother Isha says, confess, Gopal, is this true? And from his mother's tone, Gopal knew that the matter was serious. And no matter how hard he tried to hide himself, her back, she brought him to the front and forced him to look straight into her eyes. And the naughty Gopal blinked innocently but did not take his eyes off. Then Gopal says, Mother, how can you trust them? Firstly, it's not me. But probably someone else. Secondly, their butter is completely tasteless. And thirdly, why should I steal someone else's butter as if we don't have enough? Every morning you feed me so much that I can barely leave the table. Who needs their tasteless butter? And then you yourself put me to bed every night. At night I sleep, and during the day I am so full and satisfied that I don't need anything. It's just that their sons, my friends, they envy me because I run faster than everyone else. So they complained about me. And during his defensive speech, Gopal tried not to look at his neighbors, but his own words convinced him, so that by the end of his voice was already trembling with righteous anger and tears. Yashoda immediately calmed down. Then says, of course, all this is slender. My Gopal is never a thief. He will never steal. So Yashoda started justifying. And she says, really? Why would he steal your butter? We have plenty of ourselves. And then there had never been things in our family. So Yashoda started justifying, supporting Gopal. Then Gopi says, this is the trouble, dear Yashoda. Your son is a disgrace to your family. And the fact that he has no reason to steal is not an excuse. So much worse, it means he steals because he loves stealing. This is a disease. And you need to warn him of it before it is too late. And Gopal became worried. What if Yashoda would still take their side? Then he says, okay, let them prove that it is I who stole and not their own children who are breaking their pots in their closets. No one caught me yet. If you are not caught, You are not a thief. And mother says, yes, yes, that's true. First catch him red-handed and bring him to me. How can I punish him without this? What if he is not to be blamed? And then all the gopis said, okay, they decided. The neighbors, many of them, they sighed with relief. So they left the yard of Nanda's house. They got Gopal and having convinced him of thief would bring him to Yashoda so that they would catch Gopal and bring him to Yashoda red-handed. When they finally left, Yashoda wanted to scold her little son, but he came up to her, hugged her tightly and whispered warmly in her ears, Mama, Maya, do not believe them, please. You know, I never ever deceive you because I love you. And of course, Krishna never lies because he is absolute truth. Absolute truth cannot lie. And we are holding to our relative righteousness. That's why we are constantly lying. But any word that comes from the mouth of Krishna is an eternal and unchanging truth. Krishna never steals someone else's butter because all the butter in the universe belongs to only Krishna. And even more, he does not steal Yashoda's butter also because Yashoda herself gave herself completely to Krishna. Therefore, everything she has is Krishna's only. Therefore, in the depth of her heart, Yashoda sacredly believed every word of Krishna, and more than anything in the world, she wanted that the neighbors who accused her son to be wrong. That is what Yashoda. And meanwhile, the ardent supporters of strict rules and regulations, measures, decided to catch Gopal. The teachers of Dharma, they wanted to catch Gopal in a trap. They thought, he loves butter so much that he cannot control himself to such an extent that he won't even have to wait for the night. They hung a large pot of butter on a nearby banyan tree and tied ropes to the pot. The other end of the rope was tied to a small and large bells so that the slightest touch on the pot would start an incredible ringing of bells throughout the entire area. And no one doubted that Gopal would soon fall into the trap. So everyone calmly went to home and returned to their usual affairs. But the image of the small dark boy with bottomless, slightly shy, slay eyes could not leave their minds. Everyone knew. Then they left their household chores, straightened up and frozen, listening intently. When will the bells ring? So that they could drop everything and roam to Gopal again. At these moments, tears naturally welled up in their eyes. Their gaze became clouded with a sweet sweet laziness squeezed in their heart. And for them, the time dragged on slowly like a stream of Vrindavan honey. When the impatience of the gopis reached its climax and their hearts were almost bursting with a desire to see this wonderful boy with slay eyes again, Gopal, wandering around the village, came across a banyan tree with a clay pot. He immediately understood everything. Swaying in the wind, the bells spoke melodious among themselves. They want to catch me. If someone slightly pulls one rope, all the bells will ring at once and create such a commotion that the whole village will come running to hear them ring. What to do? And he was thinking. He stood with his forehead wrinkled, but very quickly he got tired of thinking. He said he wanted quickly to taste the fresh butter. soft butter prepared especially for him to trap him. And the very moment Yogamaya came to his aid, he was thinking, what is there to think about for me so long? After all, I am God, na? I will just tell the bells not to ring and let them only dare to disobey me. Then Krishna said, hey bells, you hear me? The bell says, we all. Yes, Gopal. They buzzed along and some said, hurry, hurry. Yes. Now I am ordering you to remain silent while I climb the tree and take the butter out of the pot. You should remain silent. Did you understand me? Got it, Gopal. Some woman and got Hari and others twinkle gently. And just for that moment, Gopal felt himself as an almighty God. The bells jingled randomly in the wind. And although no servility were heard in the melody ringing of the bell, he still climbed down. Now they would never give him up. So he calmed down. He thought, okay, they will not give me up. They will obey me. And who will dare to disobey the Almighty God, he thought. Rather, the fear of whom? Because of me, the sun is shining, the rains are coming, the wind is blowing. So of course, bells will be silent. With that confidence that he has outwitted everyone, he began to climb the tree. And somehow, crawling from branch to branch, finally he reached them, the pot where the pot was tied. Very soon the sweet and sour stolen butter will melt in his mouth. The bells were silent. He put his hands in the pot and pulled out a fistful of butter. The bells were still obediently silent. And Gopal sat contently, imagining what faces the gopis would have when they discover an empty pot and sad bells nearby. And having made himself comfortable on a branch in a close proximity of the pot, Gopal began to lick the warm butter between his fingers with pleasure. But as soon as his tongue touched the butter, all the bells, for no reason at all, began to ring joyfully in every possible way. Bing, 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 boom, 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 ding, ding, ding. Gopal, hurry! For surprise, almost fell from the bench. Gopal, he said, wait, what are you doing? You promised to remain silent, don't you? They said, he almost cried out of resentment, looking around, you know, helplessly and fearfully. It was already too late to get out of the branch and run away. I said, what have you done, you stupid, unscrupulous bells? He shouted excitedly and I said, who asked you to call? You are traitors. If you have at least called a little early, I would have still time to escape. But the bells, they turned to be offended. They outraged by his reproach, they crowed even louder. What kind of traitor are we? We have done what we have done wrong to you. We are simply doing our duty. Boom, 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 bing, 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 nam, nam, hurry, Gopal. They are ringing only. You asked us not to call only when you are climbing the tree and stealing the butter from the pot. Boom, 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 ding, ding, ding. We are silent all the time. But you yourself asked in the Shastras, all the bells must ring when you eat. Is it not so? So we rang to please you. When you began to eat, boom, 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 ding, ding, ding. Meanwhile, the gopis were already joyful. From all sides, they came running to the indignant of the bells. So, and until now, the villages and cities, the rings of bell remain people of God. This is remaining of Krishna. But it is usually the bell sounds like a rebuke to those who want to forget about God. Then in Gokul, they sound like a reminder to God that He is God. Oh, Krishna is told you are God. Okay, thought Gopal. We'll get out of it somehow, Gopal was thinking. Hey, Gopal, we got you, Gopi said. We got you. Now you can't leave us anywhere. Gopal said, what did you got me? What did you catch me about? Gopal was sincerely surprised. And how and what? Just look at you. You are stealing butter from someone else's pot. Gopal looked at the Gopis with clear, innocent eyes. He said, my dear, Gopal said, it only seems to you that I am stealing butter. Firstly, all the butter already belongs to me because I am the son of your King Nanda. Secondly, who on earth should I eat your tasteless butter? Eat it yourself. And thirdly, there is no logic in what you say. To listen to you, it turns out that all children crime is just to steal something. There is much more serious reason why I ended up on the tree. Gopi said, oh, such listen, such a big little philosopher has appeared. Apparently by mistake, he's born in the house of this cowherd family. Would have been born in a Brahmana's family. Yes, heard. You heard him? It turns out that there is no logic in our reasoning. For what reason did you end up on the tree, Gopal? Please tell us. You are telling some big philosophical reason that you ended up on the tree. The gopis, they choked in laughter and joyfully rubbed their hands. And then Gopal started his philosophical explanation. He said, listen carefully, and you will understand that each phenomena can have many different explanations. A person who understands the essence of things will never make hasty conclusions. This is Krishna is philosophizing everything. Then he starts his story. First, a small calf ran away from our yard. I chased after him and he ran up to this tree. And he was scared and he climbed it. And I also began to climb this tree along with the calf. But while I was climbing, he hid from me into this pot. And when he climbed into the pot, all the bells rang like crazy and frightened him even more. And if you don't believe me, watch me. And with this, Gopal put his hand in the pot. The bells stopped ringing for a moment. Frozen in amazement, the gopi stood below, not knowing whether to cry or laugh. And the Gopal, he pulled out triumphantly a small porcelain calf from the pot. Then he said, I told you that, no, I am not guilty. No, the sounds of the hymns of Vedas are just a faint echo of the very bell in Gokul, which ring together in order to give away Gopal who steals butter. So that is the original sound of the Vedas. Now, this is a very nice one's little story. Now, many people, they have different understandings about the Lord. I'm not very good in story, but I'm just repeating what I heard from Maharaj. So we'll just take some philosophy from this. It says, there are people, of course, there are many, many complaints that come for Krishna that if he goes and he pinches and pours water in the ears of small babies of the gopis, he passes stool when they decorate everything in the nice floor in the middle of the house, he goes and passes urine and stool and come, and like that he creates so much mischief like that, and all the gopis they complain about all these activities, and there are many stories we have heard. Good. Some philosophy I will discuss, and then maybe if we have time we'll discuss on our topic. Now there are people who do not understand that God cannot be blamed. They started blaming everything is wrong because of him. Such people diligently accumulate resentment, disappointment, and bitterness in their hearts. And taking advantage of any reason to condemn him for the cruelty of the world, they condemn, this is all Lord. And most importantly, injustice toward themselves. Why did he do this to me? Why did he do this to me? So they always condemn that there is any Lord. And this is their file on God. This is according to me, this is Lord. In the end, like a capricious child, they pronounce a guilty verdict on God. That what is the verdict? He does not exist only. And they say and demonstratively turn away from him. And then what to do? God also has no choice but to turn away from such people. Their experience of the absence of God is real. For God becomes non-existence for those who have expelled himself from their heart. And the emptiness found in his place is inaccessibly, inevitably it is filled with poison of envy, greed and malice. This is actually one type of people who blame God, who say he does not exist now. And then there is another category of people who verbally calm that God is always right, but at the same time they proudly believe that the truth about God is revealed only to them. We believe in God, but we only know about Lord. We only know revealed only to them. And only they give the right to instill his righteousness around them. This is, we all believe in God. And this is the way Lord is. And we are responsible to install this righteousness around. For them, God is the highest judge, allegedly giving them the right to punish and punish on his behalf. That's why they think. They say, whoever does not believe him, they should be punished or killed. Without knowing it themselves, like for the first question of his absolute power, trying to appropriate the power of Lord, they are taking the control. And why? Because the eternal fear has settled in their heart. And then they take this fear from God and his law, and their experience of fear as the spiritual experience of the existence of God. And for such people, God has put on the mantle of a judge. He says, okay. And the lawyers and self-appointed judges appear before his court. Now the Lord's answer to such type of people is the same coldness with which they treat him. They don't have any feeling for Lord. Lord also does not feel any. It is not I who regain in your heart, because the heart is iron. But there is a thirst for power for such people. They want to kill and control this in the name of Lord. Because the criminal thirst for power gives rise to fear for the Lord. And it is sown, they sow this fear around themselves and they call it as faith on Lord. I will not name it, but you all understand. And then there are other people, other blame only themselves for everything. And these people, they know that not a single lawyer will defend them in the courtroom of Lord. And they trust not in the justice of omnipotent Lord, but only in his mercy. They cry hot tears, sincere tears of repentance. They are very humble. They pray to God to uproot the pain of separation from their hearts. And they shower a drop of, and pray to him to shower a drop of mercy on them. And then they are very patient that they are ready to wait for the mercy of the Lord. And Lord comes to such people to raise them from their knees and wipe them, their tears, and lead them to the brighter kingdom, Vaikuntha. And Lord accepts their heart purified by the fire of repentance as a precious gift. And Lord himself becomes their tears of repentance bringing consolation. This is another category. But now, important getting. There is those who love God much more than themselves. They live forever in a small village on the bank of Yamuna, Tivar Yamuna, called Gokula. And they are driven by love. And sometimes they grumble at God or even try to convict him of something. Says, you did a mistake, we'll punish you. Although deep in their heart, they are confident in his eternal righteousness. They know he's always right. For them, the righteousness of Lord is his inevitable beauty, capable of withstanding any test. That is his righteousness. He's so attractive. But accusing of his or reproaching the Lord, they once again want to be convinced of his all-reconciling beauty. And in their love of God, they do not remember themselves. And now important is the God, confused by their nagging love, he also forgets about himself and become a little guilty boy. Please forgive me. And he will never exchange their grumbling and reproaches for pompous and or even tearful prayers. Somebody is doing in a pompous way, chanting, somebody's tears. But he's more interested in the reproaches and the grumblings of the gopis. The heart of such people is soft as fresh, just churned butter, beats only for him. And Krishna does not wait for them to bring their heart to him as gift. He himself goes to steal such hearts. And in Vrindavan, there is a speciality. Everywhere people they pray to Lord for something, but in Vrindavan they give blessings to the Lord. And there is a song, very famous song, Jio Shyamalala, Jio Shyamalala, पीली तेरी पगड़ी रंग काला, जियो श्याम लाला, जियो श्याम लाला. They are saying, they are blessing the Lord. जियो श्याम लाला, पीली तेरी पगड़ी रंग का. All the places people want blessings of Lord. But when you come to Gokula, Gokula people are blessing Krishna. And they sing, गोकुल में आयो नंदलाला, गोपी से प्यारे जब अब पाला. So, there is a very nice song. This is all the Vrajavasis sing. जियो श्याम लाला, जियो श्याम लाला, पीली पगड़ी रंग काला. And this is a very important understanding about the Supreme Lord that some philosophy will discuss. It will. And Lord, he is coming destroy the demons and is establishing Dharma. But apart from that, there are that is not the main activity of Krishna. He just comes to do these pastimes and give pleasure to Mother Yashoda and all of us. Because people are accustomed to thinking God as the creator, the ruler of the universe, rewarding the righteous and punishing the sinners, as if God created this world to keep himself busy. No, that is people think this is what Lord created to keep himself busy. No. This is a way they are trying to pull God down to their level. Just Lord has this work to do. It is as good as ourselves only. But God cannot be interested in his own lower energy. It is inanimate matter. Just as we are interested in the waste of, we are not interested in the waste of our life. He himself do not judge people having given these powers to others. Fortunately, there will never be a shortage of those who want to judge this world. God is pure, his transcendental love free from even a hint of self-interest, completely selfless. Therefore, he is so selfless, he is also attracted only by the love of others who are selfless. Just as a strong fire in contact with other objects brings to life the fire dominant in themselves. That means it also burns that object. The fire of that object will come and burns everything else around. So Krishna responds only to our desires to love himself. Our material sorrow and joy leave them indifferent. But having discerned a spark of desire to love in our heart, he gradually fans that selfless desire to love. And then everything else that we hold on to her burn up in the flame of that love. And this is what we... Now, no other world religion say that God himself come to this world. For them, really, who would come to earth to protect the righteous and destroy the demons? Because the righteous can be protected by their fair, wise rule, by the fair and wise ruler. And the demons can be destroyed by simple virus. When corona comes, demons are destroyed. Tsunami, volcano and all these things. And this is not enough. Then in the end, they will kill each other themselves. Demons are killing each other. Now wars are happening. But to restore religion and to show people the path to salvation, for this purpose, Lord appears. For restoring the purpose and all, Lord sends his son, a great saint or a prophet, and the Vedas insist that God himself, in the radiance of his glory, sometimes come to his world, leaving a long mark in the human memory. There can only be one answer to this question. Why Lord appears? To respond to the love of those who love him more than anything in this world. That's why Lord is appearing. That is the important understanding. Yes. Yeah, Jio Shyamalala. Thanks for sharing. I will just take few points on yajna because that's a big topic, but I will just give one point for it because I have to cover the two so justice for the shloka also. This is very important understanding that to live properly, we need to perform yajna. This is a very important understanding. There are three different aspects, and I will definitely take in a detailed way. Maybe in future, some other classes when we have this, I will definitely do. But for now, I just have few minutes. I will try to take few things. Why do we need to do yajna? And yajnartha karmano anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. We need to perform yajna, otherwise it causes bondage. Anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. Any activity which is not performed as yajna is a cause of bondage. That is the first principle we all need to know and understand. In this system of yajna, it is always there. In all cultures, there is sacrifice that is already given. Maybe it is in a different way. It may not be called in biblical religions, ancient Greek or anywhere. There is a widespread sacrifice. The culture is there. And in all cultures, all nations, without saying, well, they have same symbolic representation, fire, and they are putting something fire. There is always there. And people think that it's not something crude. Basically, sacrifice is what? We need to There are many sacrifices that are given in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita, some 15 types Krishna gives. And fire is used as a symbolic representation of sacrifice, because the very important sacrifice is always with mantra, and the essential component of sacrifice is this mantra only, the song. And what happens is, when we perform sacrifice, we are freeing ourselves from the reactions. A sacrifice basically is meant to as a payment for our enjoyment. If I am enjoying something, I need to pay for it, right? If I don't pay and enjoy, then it will cause a sin. If I do sacrifice and enjoy, then it is not a sin. Yajñartha karma ajñartha sorry. Anyatra lokoyam karma bandhana. If you are not doing your activity as yajna, it is karma bandhana. That is the cause of karma. Like say, I want to, anything we do, there is a sacrifice. There is a sacrifice at every aspect. Now, if somebody want to enjoy, he want to enjoy with a woman or a man, they have to go through sacrifice of family life and yajna. Then what happens? If he is doing it righteously, the inside his software, see what is happening now, people are only understanding the hardware part. They are not understanding the software part. That's where the mistake happens. The hardware is what we are seeing externally, but there is something called software, our inner wirings. They get corrupted if you do it wrongly. If somebody is not married and is having a relation, it is corrupting the system. It will unnecessarily create bad karma and is entangled. Any activity not done properly, there is a payment for it. But you do as a yajna and you are enjoying, then you are doing all other things also properly, then there is no much problem. Basically, this sacrifice is not just a fire sacrifice, any sacrifice. It is done not for oneself. It is done to please some higher power. That is why, like even demigods also, somebody is having some problem with the health. If they are doing some yajna, pleases the demigod somebody, then they will be free from that karma and then they can enjoy. That is how it is. Now this is, but the important thing, one important thing is 4.30th shloka, if you take Bhagavad Gita, where Krishna is telling that this is a very important shloka. This is, we should all remember. Sarvepi etad yajna vidho. I'll share the shloka for you. I'm just giving the essence. I am not telling the whole system of sacrifice. It's a very important topic, but I have very less time. Just have 2-3 minutes. I'll just take this one topic and tell you why it is so important. Sarvepi etad yajna vidho yajna kshipata kalmasha yajna sishtamrita bujo yanti brahma sanatanam. This is a very important verse. What Krishna is telling? Sarvepi etad yajna vidho. This word is very important. He says, yajna vidho means conversant with the purpose. That means, if I know why am I doing, then what happens? Yajna kshipata kalmasha. First benefit is, you will be free from kalmasha. All the sinful reactions are gone. Yajna sishtamrita bujo. You will get amrita. You get nectar. That means you can enjoy this life. And then yanti brahma sanatana. Then you can go to spiritual world. These three benefits we get. Kshipata kalmasha. Free from sin. We can enjoy in this world and go back to spiritual world. But the condition is yajna vidho. We should know why am I doing this activity. Without knowing, We cannot, yajna means consciously we should do that activity. Then only we get benefit. And for us, we may not be able to do so many yajnas, but we can do one yajna. What is that? Sankirtan yajna. That means when we are chanting, consciously we chant, we will be free from sin, we can be happy in this life, and then we can go to the spiritual world. That is the formula. Thank you all very much. I'll end here. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. I think you have another session. So
yes, Prabhuji, we have another session coming up right after your class here. So thank you.
But Prabhu, your class is very, very beautiful, Prabhu. Thank you so much.
Yes, Prabhuji.
Thank you for stopping correct time, Prabhuji. Hare Krishna.
It was so beautiful.
First class. Time I'm hearing very nice pastime from you. You always go with philosophy.
I had 2 days, just one day back from Bhakti Gyan Maharaj. I thought I'll share with all of you at least some story from my side. And that too at this time.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Thank you so much. Yeah. We all offer our obeisances to Radha Pramod Prabhu, and we'll have Vrindavan Parikrama immediately. Please don't leave the call. Vancha Kalpataro Bhyasya Kripa Sindhu Bhyeva Chapatitanam
Pavani Shri Vaishnavendra Namo Namaha
Ananta Koti Vaishnav Vrindaki Jai Srila Prabhu Ki Jai Radha Pramod Prabhu Ji Ki Jai
Radhe Radhe
Radhe Radhe. Thank you.
Oh, dear devotees, we now please don't leave, dear devotees. There is our very dear Sanjay Nitananda Prabhuji, who will bring us to Vrindavan right away without any ticket. So you don't have to buy any Air Canada or any Air Delta. There is a brief introduction for Prabhuji. Prabhuji's name, as I already said, is Sanjay Nitananda Prabhuji. Prabhuji worked for Hare Krishna TV